should mention. It was so very awesome. I don't know what else I can say, but, you know, wow, the Lord worked in a lot of lives and a lot of hearts, and especially mine. And I'm just grateful that Plaquemine Baptist Church had us up here to do this and, you know, took care of us. And we brought some food, you know, trying to be a blessing, and so did everybody else. So I think there's still piles of food laying around from what we didn't eat. But it was a real, real joy, and the Lord used all the messages, you know, in my life as well. So I pray that you went with an open heart and you received what God had intended for you to receive. And I know Brother Dimlo mentioned it several times. He said, you know, I'm not here to beat you up or scuff you up. I'm not here to, you know, hammer you or poke and prod. I'm just here to bring the Word of God. But that's what the Word of God does, is hammer, poke, and prod. And if it didn't do that to you, there's absolutely something missing in your heart at that conference, because it truly hammered me. I've been married many, many years. My kids are grown. I've got lots of grandchildren now, and the Lord's still working on me, saying you could do a little bit better. There's lots of areas of my life that I just don't do the things that ought to be done. We talked about lots of things. I can't re-preach all that, although we're going to touch on a few of these subjects. And I don't want the women to think that just because I'm preaching to the men a little bit here that you're exempt either. I'll be sure, and I've got a littler hammer over here that I'll use in a little bit for you. But, he was talking about, you know, do you really know your wife? Do you communicate with your wife? Do you understand your wife? And, you know, after 30-some years, I'm thinking, if they don't have a husband's dummies for husbands or something, I'll probably never figure it out. But it's good to see that, you know, the Lord is working in the men and moving some men. And I think that, you know, Brother Dimlo hit it right on the head this morning. He said, you know, wives, you need to go talk to your husbands. Go poke and prod a little bit. And if that doesn't work, I took all the notes. I'll give you all the notes for everything they heard. And so if they won't cough it up, just come, I'll fax them to you. Let me know. You can have the notes. And then you go to your husband and say, well, it looks like we talked about this. What's happening here? Because they need to get that right. But it's interesting because, you know, I was almost relieved. Let me just say first, I was almost relieved when they didn't ask me to teach out at that conference. You know, sometimes it's nice just to sit and listen. And, you know, I do a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching, a lot of, you know, things along that line, but I had no idea what Brother Dimlo or what Brother Humphrey were going to bring. I didn't know. And so after I listened to what they had, and I had already prepared my message, I knew that God was in this. I knew this is exactly what God wanted me to preach. We're going to talk about a lot of the things we talked about out there at that camp, but we're going to add a little something to it. And that is that as men, there comes a time where you've got to step out and you've got to step up. It's not enough to have all the information and have all the resources if you don't do a thing with it. There's got to be a time you step out of this aisle and say, Lord, I'm done doing this. I'm going to begin doing that. It's time to move. And I so clearly remember that time in my life, and I wonder what my life would have been like had I not made the move for the Lord when I did, where I'd be at today. I thank God that He still moves among men. His Spirit still moves among men. If you'll repent of your sins and trust in Him, receive the Spirit of God, then God can deal with you. If not, God will never deal with you. If you sit around the rest of your life wondering why God does not do that in your life, why He's done that in other men's life, there's probably a reason. And it's an unfortunate business, but there's lots of people that have gotten religion, but they've never got the relationship. And if that's not happened to your life, then everything we did this week is worth nothing to you, really. It's just more information. So today we want to try to make application. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. We'll be in Joshua 24. And we'll be using this as a starting point for what we're going to be preaching this morning. In Joshua chapter 24. And verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. It's impressive to note here the great influence that Joshua had, not just in his life and in his friends, but in the elders that overlived him as well. He had such an impression in his life before the Lord that when he died, they just didn't run back into sin. They continued serving the Lord because they had such an example in Joshua. I don't know how they could help themselves but to serve the Lord. Can you imagine sitting around the campfire with Joshua and talking about the things that Joshua accomplished? And we sit around the campfire and talk about all the stupid stuff we do. This stuff went in the Word of God. It was a little bit more than what we do. Yeah, we have fun and we do some things. I'm not putting aside the spiritual aspect of that, but at the end of the day, we're going to die and move on, and in 10 years, men will be, what was that guy's name that died in church and, you know, never really was, right? 20 years? 50 years? Your grandchildren don't know who you are in 50 years. Right? Most people don't know who their great-grandpa and grandma are, do they? Your great-great? It's a fleeting deal, isn't it? This life is but a vapor. But when Joshua died, the people remembered Joshua because he was that kind of leader. And what we talked about this week was about leadership, was about stepping up and doing what's right. We have so many followers in the world today. And listen, we know that because we see how our government turns out. We see the polls every time we go to vote that there's no real leadership in the world, so we're going the way we're going. If we had real leadership, they'd stand up and do what needs to be done. But that's not happening. We need men to stand up and get the job done that are godly men. Joshua was a godly man. The influence here in verse 31 says that which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Right? We don't have time. Man, I wish we had time to preach all this stuff. We just can't. But James says, you know what? I'll show you my faith by my works. Joshua lived those verses out of James. He showed people through his works that he loved the Lord. And we'll hit on a few of those in just a little bit. But the parting of the River Jordan, you know, he was with Moses, and when they parted the river, he was there at the fall of Jericho. The day the sun and the moon stood still, the battle of the Amalekites, when they held up Moses' arms. And I don't have any experiences quite like that in my life. No? I got saved. That's fresh on my mind. I never forgot that. I never forgot when I stepped out and answered the call of God to preach and had no idea why I was doing that, except that that's what God wanted me to do. But it was a long time before I understood what God was going to do with me. I can't explain that to you, but I was young in the Lord, and I just knew that's what God wanted, so I did it. And I think sometimes being raised up in a church, you get immune to just doing what God wants because you grow some immunity to what's happening around you. There was a time in this church when men were falling out of the aisles to go preach and do works and things for the Lord and ministries, and we're starting to see some of that come back around. I mean, all these young men here, I can't believe that God's not working somewhere in some man in this church to surrender to the ministry, either to the mission field or just to the gospel ministry. That's hard for me to believe. And I want you to know I'm praying that God is working in one of your hearts. And so if he is, I hope you're convicted here today about the things you heard this week about stepping out, stepping up. Because we need some men. I was sharing with Brother Stanley last night. I said, who's stepping in our shoes when we go? I'm over 50 now. We're not getting any younger. But where are the young preachers? Where are they at? Well, Joshua was there. He stood by Moses through thick and thin. He saw lots of things that people will never see in their lives. The battles and the blood and the tears and the sweat. He was there time and time again. He stood. But in churches today, there's a little conflict and everybody runs away like rats. Unbelievable. Joshua was a real man. And we see that Joshua had came to a point in his life where Moses died. And he had to step in and fill in. He had no choice but to step up into that position. No choice. He did it. His life changed. When I answered the call of the ministry, my life changed. I was already enrolled at the college to do mechanical engineering. I was going to make some money. God changed that. But I look back now, and you know what? I'd have been in nothing but fights up there at that university with that administration up there. I'd never survived 4 years in that liberal place. I took enough college to get my other degree, and I fought tooth and nail to do that with all those liberal instructors. It's unbelievable. Some of you young men ought to try to go teach up there and change the way that place operates. But Joshua, he stepped up. He gives us a great example here of what it takes to be a great leader. And every generation needs good leadership, especially in the times of struggle and doubt and liberalism the way we see it today. Listen, if we don't do it, if our next generation doesn't do it, who's going to do it? We can't stand another 8 years in our nation of what we've just been through. We won't survive it. Someone's going to have to stand up and take over the leadership and lead the men of your age group, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, whatever it might be, and influence them by the Word of God and teach them why this is so ungodly what our government's doing. Joshua was that man. We live in a day when men just are not getting the job done, and the responsibilities that God's giving them are not being embraced. They're saying, well, if that's easy, if that fits into my schedule and that fits into my plan and fits into my retirement, well, I'll do some of that. But if that gets to be too much, I'm out of here. I'm just saying that's how it is. I look around, there's few faces that have been here for the length of time I've been here. The numbers have dwindled. That we've changed. People are leaving. They go somewhere else where nobody's preaching the Word of God, so they don't have to feel convicted when they leave church. They can just feel good. Well, I don't know why you'd want to go there, but we live in a day when men just aren't being men. You can pick up the Anchorage Daily Paper, see every day where men are beating their wives, men are killing their wives. Guy just 2 weeks out in one of the villages, he strangled his wife to death, and they came in and said, what happened? He said, well, I was drunk, I was having a good time, she wouldn't shut up. Strangled her to death. Just admitted it. That's not biblical manhood. But that kind of stuff's happening all around us everywhere. That stuff's happening next door. It's happening. Don't pretend it's not happening. We need some changes, and we need some changes quickly. Men are not the men that they need to be. And the points that Brother Humphrey and Brother Dimlow made were just awesome points right through the line Bible. There was nothing extracurricular there. It was just common sense Bible stuff that is in the Bible. And we're going to look at that in Joshua. We're going to move on here. And we're going to see that Joshua is what we need to be as a man. He is a perfect example of that. When it comes to manhood, biblical manhood, Joshua was a man. There's lots of things I could say, but I get myself in trouble. Like right now, I want to say he probably wasn't eating quinoa patties for lunch, you know? He was probably killing meat and eating it right off the hoof. This guy was a man's man. I said that part. I'll be done with it. I'm just old school. It's how it is. I'm not eating bulgur for breakfast. But notice with me in these passages that Joshua was a lot of things, but what he wasn't was spineless. He wasn't wimpy. He didn't whine about his responsibilities. You'll never see where Joshua came and second-guessed his leadership. He did what he was told to do. And that's what I want to see, you know, us get out of this message at the end, is that I want to see us compare how our lives are with a man like Joshua. Can we say that we've got these character traits that Joshua has? Are we willing to go the distance like Joshua did? We saw here they buried him, and the rest of his days he served God. And people followed him after that. I want my legacy to be that I serve God. That when I die, that, you know, it's not just he was a funny guy or this or that, but that he served the Lord all his days. He never compromised till the day he died. And I want someone to preach that over my dead body while I'm already with the Lord and share that that's what I tried to do all my life. And I know there's men here that are trying to do that. Some have already done that. I look at Brother Girth, the hoary head back there, continuing to trudge on. But there's some young men here that haven't yet quite gotten the battle. And there's some battle scars waiting for you out there. Joshua had to go to battle. Before we go any further in this, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can gather here. What a blessing it is to be back at Plaquemine Baptist Church this morning. What a blessing it is to be able to broadcast this to Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're thankful for that. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd work in the hearts of our people there and the people here. And we're just so grateful for the things that we learned this week. And, Lord, just the challenging of the heart for the men. And I pray, Lord, that even through this message this morning, you could challenge some of the hearts of the women. And I just pray that we could see a stronger generation together here, just glued together, Lord, that couldn't be ripped apart by the thinking of the world and the ways of the world. But, Father, we could in turn hand these things to our own children and see them grow up and to be the men they need to be, that the Word of God would be not blasphemed in any way, but the Word of God would be fulfilled, that the gospel would continue, that men would be saved, that families would be changed forever. Father, what a blessing it is to see how life has changed and how lineage has changed simply by trusting in you and repenting of our sins. And we pray today, Lord, if there's someone here that's lost, it'd be the day that they'd repent and trust in you and be saved. And Lord, they could rejoice in that forevermore. We'll rejoice with them. We pray, Lord, for obedience. Father, we just know that none of this means anything unless we're obedient. And I pray you'd help us to be responsible and picking up that torch like Joshua did and carrying it on. I pray that you use this in a mighty way in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we got to get moving. Joshua, he was a man of humility. He was willing to serve. There was nothing in his life that was too small for him to do. For 40 years, he served under Moses. 40 years. Some of us haven't been in the ministry half that time. 40 years, he stood by another man and followed and did what was told. You'll not read one account in the Bible where Joshua ever lipped off to Moses. And most of what you read in the Old Testament about Joshua is that he was always just by the side. He was not the man of the hour. He was not the man that needed to be up front. He was a man that was prepared to do whatever it took to minister to the man of God that God had placed by his side. That's what he was willing to do. He had humility. In Exodus 24:13, Joshua is called there the minister of Moses. He didn't say he was Moses' equal. He was Moses' assistant. He was his minister. Well, yeah, and I fleshed that out a little bit. To minister means not just the 8 hours a day like a job of an assistant pastor or whatever the position might be called. But he ministered day and night to Moses. He prayed for Moses. I'm sure there was times where he was worried sick to death about Moses. His responsibility was Moses. And yet we have so many pastors that don't know who to turn to. We're thankful here we see men being raised up, and we saw that this week with men jumping in and doing what needs done. But we also need to see some of these guys that have been doing this for a long time sit down and watch some of the young men jump in and take care of what needs done. It shouldn't even have to be something that's asked. When there's something that's done, Brother Dimlow shared with us about the piece of paper he walked past and how God got a hold of him, and he said, "But you know, I can't believe I didn't do that." Listen, when we're raising our young men to become men, we raise them to do things without having to be told to. That they understand the responsibility of paying attention to detail. Joshua, I believe, was this kind of man. He you know, great leaders have no problem serving other people when God has called them to do that. When God is the one that's in charge of that, it works perfectly. Serving under a godly man will do nothing but increase your ability to lead in the future. It takes a good example. And we have lots of examples in the Bible. We're going to stick with Joshua this morning. But I would not be the man I am today if God had not given me Brother Humphrey to be my mentor. The first official duty, man, I remember after I surrendered to preach, and then, you know, the church called me to be the assistant to the pastor. I'm thinking of all the preaching I'm going to be doing. I remember the first day I went in and said, "You know, what do you want me to do?" And he says, "Well, those back stairs need mucked out. They're full of mud and garbage and rocks." And that's where you start. That's where you start. And then I realized real quick, this guy's a pulpit hog. It was far and in between. So I appreciated every opportunity, but... But the deal is, as a leader, you still got to be willing to serve others. And Joshua, he had an example in Moses. Moses served the people. Moses begged for the people. How many times he intervened on the sinful people's behalf? When a lot of times when we were in the same situation, we just stood back and said, well, Lord, they're crummy people. Just judge them. Get it over with. We'll start new and go somewhere else. And Moses would come in and remind God, well, God, you promised to do this and this and this and this. Boy, if you don't do that, then these heathen, the Hittites and Hivites and Jebusites and Amalekites and whatever-tites, they're going to know you're not a God that keeps his word. Like, God doesn't already know that. But Joshua saw this. Joshua saw the stands that Moses took. A lot of young men in here, a lot of 20-somethings, early 30-somethings. How many people around you have you influenced that way? When they look at you and they talk about you and you're not around, they say, you know, that guy just won't change his stance. I don't know why he won't go drinking, why he won't go partying, why he won't badmouth this, that, and the other. You think Joshua ever badmouthed Moses? You think there was ever a time when Joshua slipped into the camp and, you know, Moses was busy doing the Lord's work and he sat down by them and, how's it going, Joshua? Man, that old man's wearing me out. He does some crazy stuff for God. And start whining and sniveling about all the things God called him to do. You suppose he ever did that? You never see that in the Bible. It wasn't in his character, that's why. You see, the character wouldn't allow him to do that. I could see Joshua whipping a sword out and lopping your head off for messing with the man of God. I see him destroying all the enemies of God every chance he got. Every time God gave him a chance, an opportunity, he did that. Listen, he fought for the things of God. Where am I going with that? It's not just enough to know about the things of God. It's not enough to know we shouldn't do this or we shouldn't do that unless you actually put it into practice in your life. There's got to be a point where application is made. You can't continue on weeping about the things that need changed without ever stepping out and turning over the things to God and letting God change them. Man, I'd love to be a Joshua. He was a strong man. He was a harder man than I am. We all like to think we're manly men. I don't think anybody looks in the mirror and goes, man, you're a fine sissy. Almost everybody goes in and they look at the mirror and they go, I can whoop that guy, whoop this guy, whoop that guy. Everybody knows a man lives here. But if a guy like Joshua showed up, you'd feel minuscule in a second. Or a David. Like we talked about in Sunday school, he showed up to Goliath, and all those men were just sitting around too, weren't they? But I'll bet they put their armor on, they were going, who's going to whip this thing? And they went down and saw that giant and went, well, somebody else is going to do that. Right? And David came down and said, what is going on with you? Is there not a man here? I'll do this, step aside. Those are the kind of men that God needs. Those are the kind of men that God can use. It's not fun going to the prison week after week after week. I've been in the prison ministry and it's depressing. But that's what God calls some men to do. Brother Gert's been doing that faithfully for years and years. Last month I was talking to a man and I said, the men up there at that prison he goes to ought to get on their knees and praise God that he comes in there and preaches the things he does faithfully, or they would never hear the truth. They'd get a bunch of ecumenical slop that'd lead them straight to hell. That'd be it. Thankful for men like Brother Gene that stood years and years and years and years and pastored and did not compromise, would not compromise. Now, I know people who used to be here and they don't believe the same things they did when they were here. But things change. Things haven't changed for him. Things haven't changed for me. I pray God they never will. God's word is God's word. Joshua was a man like that. As a leader, he was willing to serve. Look with me now back in Joshua. Back to Joshua chapter 3 and verse 7. And we can't preach the entire book of Joshua, but we are going to hit on a few things here. Look with me in verse 7. I just want to show you the humility of this man. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Look in chapter 4 and verse 14. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Here's a man that's been magnified by the Lord. The Lord shows up and says, I'm magnifying you, Joshua. He was a leader doing what he's supposed to do. God shows up and says, I'm going to magnify you and I'm taking care of you, Joshua. Now, how many people would an event like that take straight to their head? Saul, maybe? An example we had in Sunday school. You know, Saul started out on the right path, and by the end, he was not doing what God wanted him to do, was he? That power can go to your head. There's lots of men that have been corrupted by power and position and money and those things. And it had been easy for Joshua to do that. All of a sudden, he's the man, and God's magnify him. But look at this. Look over in Joshua 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? We talked a lot about service this week. Even as the head of the children of Israel, he is now the main man. The first thing he does is drop in obedience when the Lord gets in front of him. He's not too big to stutter or to shimmy. He says, what would you like for your servant to do? What do you want me to accomplish today, Lord? You see, leadership and service are hand in hand. We lead because we serve. When you lead because that's what you like doing, something's gone wrong. Something's gone astray. And listen, there's some people who have been in the military. I've seen it many times. You got a great guy that works with you. He gets promoted, and you can't even stand the look of his face anymore. He no longer wants to take care of his men. He wants to take care of him. That's just how it is. That humility is such a huge part of what we do in our Christianity. It cannot be overlooked. We talked about pride this week. Listen, pride is a killer of all things. I'm not going to rehash all that. Now, I know you ladies go, I don't understand what he's talking about. You know, talk to your dads or husbands. They do. Pride goeth before destruction, the haughty spirit before the fall. And we talked about pride in the marriage and pride being men and how contention comes from pride and how pride will take us low. And it works the same for the women. Lots of prideful women in the world. And we talk about leadership in men, but what about the leadership in the ladies? Ladies need led, don't they? Not just by their husbands. In this church, there has to be women that are willing to lead. There has to be women that are willing to teach other women. There's things I'm not teaching women. My wife does that. She takes them aside, and they have different, you know, lessons. And constantly, we're looking for leadership. I've been watching and visiting with Brother Hammond a lot, talking about some things back and forth. And, you know, one of the key things is that, you know, you've got to find some leaders. He can't be there forever. Listen, he served a long time already at one church. He's over there pouring his heart out to the people of that place. He's got to find men that will carry it on. But there's got to be some women too. It does not matter what a husband does. You can surrender now to do what God needs you to do, but if your wife is against it, it'll be a fight all the way. There has to be some humility. Wouldn't it be awesome if all the wives were praying for their husbands to do what God would have them to do? It's so awesome to have a wife that encourages the husband. Encouragement. After how many years you don't need encouragement? Listen, for as long as you live in a marriage, you need encouragement. My wife always encourages. She's the encourager. She encourages me a lot more than I encourage her, I'm sure of it. It's just part of her makeup. As we were out this week, we were talking about some of these things. And I was flipping through my Bible. You know, and I flipped through and I thought, you know, I wasn't even preaching out of Ezra. But I'm not showing you. But I got a little note. And it lifted my whole day. She's praying for me. Praying for me what? Because she knows I'm preaching to you. She knows I'm going to deal with other men today. It's nice to have a woman behind you that's with you and not against you. Joshua, you know, we'll get to his family in a bit, but, you know, he was a man that was humble enough to do what needed done, and he had a family that wanted to stand behind him. We never see his family bucking him. If they did, I think he probably buried him and he moved on, and we just don't see it in the Bible. It's not like today, you know, where all the fights and stuff, there was some fear put in their hearts that doesn't exist a lot today in homes. There was a godly fear of touching not just the man of God, but he was a father in the home. He was a rightful leader that God put him there, and I believe his family followed him all the days of his life. He was a wonderful example, but he was humble, and humility was demonstrated not just in bowing down to the angel of God, but he was a man of faith, and he trusted God, and he would have served in any capacity. If God would have sent anyone else there, even if it wasn't an angel, I believe Joshua would have said it said the same things and bowed the same way. This pride thing has got to go at some point. It's got to be turned over to the Lord. Joshua demonstrated character trait after character trait when he went to spy out the land. Man, I love that story. We got to blast through it. But look in Joshua chapter 5. I'm sorry, Numbers 13. That's the wrong note. Numbers 13. And verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Ooh, they were scary to look at. Some of those guys, they shivered. Some of those men all of a sudden weren't so manly. The ones that were humble and went to do the scouting, you know, just think this through sensically. If I'm a pastor, I pretty much know, give or take, which of my men are worthy, which of my men are not worthy. Just how it is. I know the ones that take responsibility and the ones that don't. Wouldn't it make sense that these spies that went out with Caleb and Joshua, that they were half trustworthy men, and this is the future of the nation of Israel? Do you think they would have sent the guys they didn't trust, or the guys who were scared of their own shadows, or the? I don't think so. I think these were, you know, more warrior-like men that went out to do what they did. But listen, because of the spirit in their heart, they didn't have what it took. They went with their eyes and with their flesh, and they saw what the world had to offer, and they said, "We can't do this. This is more than we can handle." And unfortunately, that is happening in our churches today too. Men stand up until the going gets tough, and they say, "You know, this is too much to handle. Maybe we should just go the other way. You know, there's so much opposition to the King James Bible. Let's just get rid of that and take on the new King James Bible. It'll be easier for us." There's no conviction to stand and fight for what you believe in. And you only end up with a couple of guys here that stand and fight. Peer pressure must have been unbelievable standing there with those men when they got back. There's Caleb and Joshua, and when you look over here in 14 and verse 6, it says that, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." He said, "We need to go do this. This is something God wants. This is something God is going to enable us to do." It's the prophecy being fulfilled. But the people standing around, they weren't all that excited. Listen, it is easy to get discouraged through peer pressure. Peer pressure is probably one of the worst things in the world next to pride in the New Testament church. It's unbelievable that people raised up in churches, they know their Bibles, but when it comes to doing what they know they ought to do, the peer pressure keeps them from getting up here and giving their life to God. What would the other guys think? What would the other girls think if I finally make a decision to do what's right? Who cares what they think? They will always be the people they are. You need to be the person God wants you to be. You need to stand up and be like Joshua. I you just love to be there watching these kind of things take place. He wasn't going to have it. He wasn't going to back down. The peer pressure was not going to win the day. He He continued to well, we know the deal. You know, God said, all right, Joshua, you and Caleb, I'm gonna spare. But these other guys, they're paying the penalty for their lack of faith. And you can look around your New Testament churches and see the people that pay the price for their lack of faith. It happens all the time. Simply trust the Lord and do what God wants. And listen, God has blessed my life to the fullest. Has there been lumps and bumps in the road? There has been. But if I had opportunity, if God gave me opportunity to go back to the day I surrendered to preach and said, listen, I'll give you a second chance to think about the decision you make. And you can surrender to preach or go to school and go get your job, make all your money, and your life will change that way. I'll guarantee it'd turn out worse. 10 times over worse. I don't understand it. I don't understand putting yourself in a position. I was already in a position where I worked and I missed church. God gave me the opportunity to serve Him and never have to miss church again. And my life has been blessed. Listen, Alaska breeds that stinking miss church for work stuff. I'm just telling you, I've never been anywhere in the world where people are working more Sundays than they do in Alaska. And at the end of the day, the only cause is because it lines the pocketbook. That's it. That's it. You can say what you want to do, say what you want to say, but at the end of the day, you have to make a decision between money and mammon and family and church and God. And listen, they tie so intricately together. Joshua stayed on the path. He said, I don't care what those people are doing. I don't care if it takes 40 years. I'm going to the promised land. I'm thankful that I stepped out of the promised land. When God allowed me to minister in the gospel preaching ministry, I entered right into the promised land. Buddy, I'm telling you, it's such an awesome place to be. I would never want to turn back. I would never want to give in to that worldly stuff again. I'd love to have been there with Joshua at the fall of Jericho. Can you imagine how crazy that sounds? I remember when I got saved and I hear this stuff. I heard it someone as a kid, but you know what? Just didn't understand any of it. And then you hear about these guys trumping around a city. I mean, it just sounds crazy, doesn't it? But Joshua did it. You know why? Because God told him to. Sometimes it doesn't always sound good to do what we need to do. We just need to do it, though, by faith. We need to step out and trust the Lord. I remember years ago, a man that went to church here, you know, I was soaking up all the things I was learning from the guys and the men here, you know. I wanted to be better in my life and better in my family, and I was between jobs there, and we had some things going on, and this guy told me, he said, you know, trust the Lord, and if the Lord lets you starve to death, praise the Lord. But God's still in control, whether you starve or whether you don't. And I thought, man, these are really crazy people. But he believed it. That's what made the impression on me, is he believed what he was saying. Because those are the promises of God. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Sometimes people die untimely deaths and we don't understand why. We sit around asking why. God knows why. God had a purpose. I don't always get to know why. Why does God call some people in ministry and others not? I don't know why. He sees something that we don't see. Why does God have to wait for men to surrender for the ministry? I don't know why. You know why. God's not going to listen to the gifts and calling of God without repentance. If God's dealing your heart to do the things you need to do, God's not going to quit asking you to do that. He never told Joshua, hey, Joshua, you know, you've been doing a good job and you're almost 70. It's time for you to, you know, let's just get out of this game and go do something else. It's warm in Yuma. There's not a lot of fighting going on there. People laying around, taking it easy. Go do that, Joshua. Joshua served up until he died. I can't imagine me not preaching the Word of God while I'm still capable. I pray that something never happens in my life that, you know, mentally or what have you, with time, that takes place. But the thought of not preaching or being a part of a New Testament church in every way I possibly can be, I just can't understand that. I can't fathom that. And I don't know how people can sit in churches for years and years and years and never get involved in that church. I don't understand it. It's foreign to me. Because when God called me to save me, it was the natural thing to do. Nobody set me down and said, brother, you know, now that you're saved, you need to do these things. I got saved and I went straight to the pastor at the time and I said, well, when do I get baptized? He's like, whoa, you know, we can't do it, you know, this afternoon, but we're going to We need to talk to you a bit about that. Nobody said a thing to me about being baptized. I understood after I got saved, though, I need to be baptized. How come? Because I needed to be accountable in the Lord's church. And the only way to do that was to be baptized by the authority of the New Testament church into the church. That's what I wanted. I no longer wanted to be an outsider. I wanted to be an insider. These guys we talk about in the Old Testament, they were insiders. The Davids and the Moses and the Joshua, they were there, you know, through the Bible and into the New Testament. We see in Hebrews, the chapter of faith, by faith, they continued with their entire lives to do what was right. That takes a lot of grit. And we're missing grit today. We're missing grit in our young people. How do you give them grit? I don't know. I don't know how you do that. I was trained up in a way that was different than lots of people. You know, my mom raised four boys, and she just simply didn't want any sissies, and so that's how it was. And when we started duking it out, she just let us. But now today, you know, oh, don't do that, boys. You know, don't do that. You might get hurt. Well, listen, if the one's beating on the big kid's beating on the smaller kid, and the smaller kid's got a stick, just step back and let them work it out. That's how they gain grit. At some point, you know, I learned how to fight on the school ground. It starts with pushing and shoving and talking, and then it turns into fighting. But we talked about being protectors. It's a tough deal to do when you're afraid of everything. At some point, you got to be exposed to some things. Joshua was with Moses. He was exposed to war. He had grit. It didn't mean he'd go around bullying people, not that kind of thing. But he was a man's man, and he was still humble. Moses was a man's man. He was still meek. Lots of these qualities we can have that men don't have today because the world tries to form us into this, you know, this cookie-cutter formula that they have for us. You know how many times I hear people talking about getting in touch with their feminine side? I can guarantee you I do not have one. I don't. If you do, I'm not joking when I say you should be at this altar today. That feminine side business has got us in America where we're at today. You think they had homosexual marriage in Joshua's day? I don't believe so. It was against the law. Judgment would have been passed in a civil manner through the laws and ordinances. Lots of places in America, in their laws and ordinances, they still have penalties for homosexual activity. Now we're just undoing all that because all of a sudden it's right. We need men to be men regardless. You know, have you ever been into a place and you're sitting with people and they talk about everything they want to talk about, but you start talking about the things that are right and other people are like, well, boy, look at the time. I've got to get back to work here. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to listen about how bad homosexuality is because all the people in this restaurant, they're for it. Well, I don't care if God be against it. I don't care if they're for it. Does that make me different? Absolutely, it makes you different. Doesn't mean we need to be mean-spirited. No, we don't need to be mean-spirited to be men. I learned that after I got saved. You don't always have to holler the things that you believe in. You can say it with a tone that people understand, your family understands. I don't believe I saw Jesus do a lot of that type of stuff. But he was a man's man as well. Joshua was devoted. Even at the end of his life, he encouraged the nation to heed God's work. When you look back over here in Joshua chapter 23, Joshua chapter 23 and verse 6, he said, "Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." There are some people in this church today. Just a prediction. There's some people that are going to turn to the right hand and they're going to turn to the left. They will not be finishers of what God teaches. They will not finish to the end like Paul said and fight the good fight of faith. There'll be some turns and they'll take the wrong turns because it benefits them. It's hard. Listen, it's hard to do all the things that God wants us to do, but he gives us the ability to do them. Sometimes it is hard to listen to the things your children say to you. But they're not your little friends. They're your responsibilities that God gave to you. And sometimes you got to be the bad guy and say, you are not wearing that. You are not doing that. This is not happening. You've got to be the man. Joshua was a man. Joshua stood before his people and said, don't do this. He understood the way I understand that some of his people that he had tried to teach under the teachings of Moses would turn from the left, from the center, to the left and to the right. They'd get off the right path. Look around today and how many people have done that over the years. More than are still here. It's a fair warning. The being part of a man means you stay on the path. You don't let those others drag you off the path. You can weep for them when they leave the path. You can pray for them when they leave the path, but do not leave the path. Joshua never did. He had an effect on people. And sometimes it just takes a strong leader, and people say, well, they're falling out, but I'm following my leader. I'm following the man that God put in my life to help me lead. He was that kind of man. He had that kind of faith. Time and time again, he was a man of God's word. We touched on that a bit at the camp. That, listen, a man that is not continually in the word of God is a man that's already headed off. He's going. He's not just off the path. He's the guy that will blindly fall off the cliff. It will end in demise. The word of God is such a part of the Christian's life, and yet most people don't know anything about the Word of God. It is pitiful. A couple years ago, we had a man start attending church, and I challenged him about the Word of God, and he read the entire Word of God, and it just thrills me to death. That somebody would actually take the challenge and read their entire Bible. But in Christian churches today, there's many people who have been here for years and years, they've never read their Bible from Genesis to Revelations. They've never done it. It's just laziness is what it is. There's time for everything else. Why did Joshua do the things and understand and know the things he did? Because he knew the Word of God. He stood by the man that helped pen part of the Word of God. What an awesome deal. You've got men in here. You've got lots of experience in Brother Humphrey. Brother Girth has been here for years and years. Now Brother Demlo has been here. There's plenty of men to teach you the things you do not know. I don't read the Bible, brother, because I don't understand that stuff. They would be nothing but thrilled for you to come to them and say, you don't know that stuff. They will help you know that stuff. How do you think we learn that stuff? By asking other men. Listen, when I went to Nilchik, I called Brother Humphrey all the time. What does this mean? I don't understand this. And sometimes he'd say, well, I think it means this and this. Other times he'd say, I don't know. I don't know what that means. And other times he'd say, figure it out yourself. Before Google, it was a little tougher being in the ministry. Joshua didn't have that kind of stuff. He had the Word of God. And to ensure success, he had to fulfill the law given by Moses. When he was challenged in Joshua 1 and verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He understood the commission that was given to him. Listen, whether you surrender to the gospel ministry or not is irrelevant to the idea of being the man of God that he wants you to be. If you're not to be the leader, then you're to be an absolute follower that follows the Word of God, the faith in God, with a family that's godly. All these things still apply. You do not get a free pass. There's no free pass. We preach and preach and preach. Why? We want you to know there's no free pass. You're going to stand before God Almighty in judgment one day, the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to answer for the things that are done. Why do we plead? Why do we pray? Why do we weep? Because we do not want to see you getting hammered in front of God. We want to see you be blessed and praised by God. The jewels in the crown that we're going to receive. Some of you are going to have some great big fat jewels. And some of you are going to need a microscope. I hope that I've got them big enough, at least I can see. There's a few things in my ministry I'm thinking for certain there ought to be at least a crown somewhere in it. But Joshua, he was a man that when he died and he stood before God, he knew the Word of God. He lived the Word of God. He was a faithful man of God. He had nothing to be ashamed of when he died and stepped off this earth. Was he a sinner? Absolutely. Am I trying to say that this is a guy that doesn't sin? We're not saying that. I am saying this, as sinners go, I think he was pretty comfortable when he died to go to be the Lord. That's the kind of shape I'd like to be in spiritually when I go. I would not like to be laying on my deathbed gasping for air, wondering what's going to happen in the next minute. Wondering if there's more I could have done. Could I have stepped out sooner? Could I have surrendered sooner to the things I know that are right? Sure you can. There's always time. You can start today. Start this morning. Don't put these things off. Time and time again, Joshua was the responsible man. He was the one that was fulfilling the covenant of God to the people of God. It's not always fun, but it's what's right. You know, years ago, before I was saved, I can't tell you how many sleepless nights that I had over things like finances and family and army problems and this, that, and the other. You know, I hardly have any problems sleeping about those things anymore. God saved me, and I start conforming to the Word of God and the image of Christ, and my life gets easier and easier as the time goes by. The dumb mistakes I made along the way, a lot of those are put aside. But I look around, I see people that they're no further along today than they were when they were saved. I'm not perfect. I'm far from the example that Joshua is. I'm just saying that I know in my own life, my life has gotten better and blessed for doing what God wants me to do. And let me tell you, if I had to choose between anyone in this room and God, I'd leave you behind. I would do it. Because that's what God would have me to do. I would do it. Joshua had to stand many times and say, I'm doing this whether you do it or not. Look in Joshua 11, verse 15. This is probably a bad deal, but there's no clock in here and I don't have a watch. But not necessarily bad for me. But, in 11 and 15, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Listen, that is a stellar career record. He left nothing undone. All the things he did. What things? He did even the little things. He paid attention to detail. This last week we talked about men and men in prayer and men in church attendance, and the list went on and on and on, and for sake of time we can't repeat all those things, but if you miss that, you need to get with your pastor or some of these men and listen to what was said, because it was a really good message that we heard about the things that men need to do. Listen, your character depends upon paying attention to details. You miss the little details, you'll lose your family over it. Little details like praying for your family. Little details like taking your family to church. Little details like taking a stand when you need to take a stand when nobody else will take a stand. That's what Joshua did. He left nothing undone. Could you today put your friends on one side and your family on the other and ask your friends first, is anything left undone? Would they say, I can't think of a thing you should be doing. You're just doing such an awesome job in the Lord. And then you went to your family and said the same thing. What would they tell you? If they were free from your wrath, what would they tell you? Most of them will tell you what you want to hear because they're just afraid. Right? Dad pops off and they know what dad's limit is. He'll take so much criticism until he absolutely pops the top of his head off. But would they say, no, honey, you've got everything done. You've not left anything undone. You're good to go. A lot of us would never put ourselves in that position to begin with. I wouldn't want to be put at the front of that pile because I know there's things still undone. You know there's things still undone. What we talked about this week was not leaving stuff undone, but getting some things done. Was getting on our face before God and telling God, we are not the men we think we are. We would like you to help us be the men that you want us to be. That you want to be a David. You want to be a Joshua. You want to be a Moses. Whatever it might be. Joshua's a tremendous example for us. All the way to the end of his life. You can't be a man of faith without being a man of the Word. Brother Stanley and I were in a room last night. We're both reading. We're going back and forth. And I found some things I've never seen before. I've read this stuff 100 times. I've never seen this. And I asked Brother Stanley, and he says, oh, I think it's this, and this. And I said, but over here it says this. And he goes, oh, well, that's kind of odd. So he starts reading what I'm reading. And he says, hey, but over here, you know, it says this. And I said, well, but over here it said that. They can't both be this. And we spent several hours going over something that you wouldn't even waste your time on. But it's attention to detail. Why did God do this? Why does God want us as husbands to do this little thing? Why as fathers are we to do this little thing? Because without paying attention to details, we'll lose all the big things. We'll lose our families. You know, in America, more than 50% of the people come from single-parent homes. Divorce is rampant in the nation, even in our churches. Maybe not specifically this church, but it's in Christianity as a whole. It's as bad there as it is anywhere else. How come? Nobody wants to pay attention to the details. There's lots of details. You will not figure out those details until you've read the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, and Genesis, the Revelation. You will not see what God has for you and your family. But Joshua didn't leave anything undone. What Moses had did, Joshua completed. He didn't falter. He didn't waver. He was always willing to step up. I mean, how much time, honestly, do you read the Word of God? How much time, honestly, do you spend in prayer? Do you fall asleep on your knees at night in prayer? I can't tell you how many times I've fallen asleep in prayer that I couldn't get up, my legs were asleep. And then there's times where I didn't pray at all. I'm too busy, too tired to go to bed and forget about it. Is that just me? There wasn't one amen in there. I got to learn the prayer lives you guys got. There's lots of stuff that we leave undone, isn't there? Stuff that God wants us to do every day. And listen, we got to step up and get this stuff done. The days are coming to an end. The time is short. I can't help believe looking around that the Lord's not going to come back here soon. We see Joshua praying for his failures at Ai. He prayed that, you know, God, come in here and do whatever it takes to do to get us right with you. I don't care, but I will do it. Sometimes that means making really tough decisions. And it usually comes into our family where we don't want to make the tough decision. That's where it falls apart. We're in our jobs. We know what we need to do, but they pay me too much money to do it. I just can't cut loose from this thing because I make too much money doing it. Joshua prayed in the middle of warfare. He was in the middle of a war. They're trying to kill them, and he stops and he prays. Who does that? Guys that understand it, the only way you're going to win this battle is with God on your side. That's who stops and does that. Take time to get with the Lord and ask for help. Listen, if leaders need all the help that they can get, they better be men of prayer. How much time do you spend in prayer? When's the last time you got on your face before the Lord begging for your, pleading for your family, and you were shedding tears down your face, asking God to intervene somehow, anyhow, any way, because you no longer have the strength to do it? I've got 7 grandkids now. I've got plenty to pray about. I've got 2 kids I got plenty to pray about. I've got a church full of people depending on me to deliver the Word of God time in and time out. I've got a lot to pray about. I've got a church that sent me out. I've got a lot to pray about. I pray about Prackload all the time. Just it's a constant part of my prayers. It will always be a part of my prayers. How could it not be? God works in that. Joshua put God first in his life. He worshiped. He showed others how to worship. Are you faithful in worship? Do other people know that on Sunday morning you will not be home because you will be in worship? Do they know on Wednesday night they cannot find you at home because you will be in worship? Somebody left a message for me here a couple months ago on a Wednesday night. Somebody that's known me forever. And I called them and I said, why'd you try to get hold of me on Wednesday night? Where do you think I'd be? Oh, I forgot. How do you forget to be in church on Wednesday night? How do you forget that? I don't know. How do you wake up and forget it's Sunday morning? I don't know. I know how you wake up and miss the time change. But to miss the whole day. But people do that. I've heard that. Listen, over the years, I've heard everything. I forgot. I didn't know it was Sunday. It wasn't. Listen, God doesn't care if you remember or not. It's still time for worship. You don't get a free pass because you forgot. If you forgot, it's because it was not at the forefront of your mind and your heart. That's why you forget. You wouldn't forget to go cash your lottery ticket in. Right? You wouldn't forget to cash a check. We don't forget that stuff. We don't forget our birthday. No, don't forget Christmas. But we forget to come to church. Joshua didn't forget. He left nothing undone. He worshiped when it was time to worship. He stopped whatever he was doing. If he had to make a heap of rocks and make an altar there to worship, that's what he did. That's what we should do. He put God first in everything. Listen, just wrapping this up a little bit, he was a man where the buck stopped. The verse that everyone knows, you're probably all waiting for that one, is chapter 24 and 14. Now therefore, because of all the things I've done before you, and the witness I've had my entire life, and serving Moses all his days, and leaving nothing undone, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who ran Joshua's house? Joshua did. Who led Joshua's children? Joshua did. Who led the armies of the living God? Joshua did. He led and he led and he led till they put him in the ground. He didn't find a time where he just couldn't fight the fight anymore. It was everything that he was. Is that everything you are? Do you get up praying to fight the fight of good faith in the mornings? Listen, as you get older, you'll see that you need more power of God to do the things that need to get done. And the things you never thought to pray for, you'll start praying for. Because it's not as easy anymore. It's not as easy for me to get up and go sit in my office for hours and hours and hours anymore. You know, I've had all the back surgeries and the stimulator deal, and it's hard for me to go sitting there all the time. And a lot of times I got to pray that God would just give me what I need and I can get this done and get out of this chair. It comes down to that kind of simplicity in your life. But I still pray that God would use me to the fullest in what capacity I have. But I'm over 40 now. Someone's going to have to fill my shoes. There's going to come a day where I just cannot do that. Maybe that I'm teaching Sunday school or doing whatever I have to do. I've got my plans and God has his, but someone's going to have to fill my shoes. Who's going to do it? Listen, if we don't find some Joshua somewhere to step up and start serving down these positions, who's going to do it when we're burying Joshua? Who is going to do it? He had plenty of people that had been following him and watching him not leave anything undone. He was standing there why would he have to make this speech in the first place? Why would he have to stand and say, hey, choose you who you're going to serve? Why? Because there were some people there he knew were not going to serve the Lord. And he said, you better make your choices. And he said, listen, friend, listen, buddy, listen, whatever. This is the side I'm standing on. And if you're not standing with me, get the other side. I want to know where you stand. I want to see your backbone and go stand where you really stand. And quit milling around in this deal. And too often, that's what happens in churches. People come, they get saved, they get, you know, they're zealous, they're vigorous, and somewhere that just dies off to where they just are existing in a church setting. But this is serious business. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. Is it going to be you and what you want? Or is it going to be what God wants? I don't know what you guys want. I there's lots of new faces here. I don't even know some of you folks very well. I have no idea what your desires and your heart is. But what it ought to be is whatever God wants. It ought to be whatever doors God opens. I've already been down the road. If I know this is what God wants because he did this and he did that, and I've been burned because I didn't take enough time to pray about things and look in my Bible and see exactly what God had to say about those things. I prayed for a job that God gave me and it took me out of church. Is that the will of God? It cannot be the will of God. It cannot be the will of God to go against the Word of God. That is the craziest prayer life a man can have. Crazy, isn't it, brother? You see it all the time, though. Well, I prayed and God gave me this. Well, I know 18-year-old kids buying $250,000 homes. I just do not think that's the will of God. But you can do it, right? You can do it. You can get in debt further than you'd ever imagine. That doesn't make it the will of God. Because I've been in debt, and now I understand that was not the will of God. That was the will of me first and God later. And praise God, he helped it to help me to work that out. But I'd never want to be in that place again. And by knowing the Word of God, I'll never put myself in that place again. Joshua was a man that was said, listen, step up and pick a side. Are you going to do this or not? It was those kind of qualities that made him the leader he was. He was humble. He trusted God. He read God's Word. He prayed for God's people. He did what he was supposed to do until nothing was left undone. Can you look in the mirror this morning and say, you've left nothing undone? Is there some things you need to come up here this morning and pray that God would help you to get done? There are some areas in your life where you're just too weak and wishy-washy to continue on. That's where I used to live. It's a lot easier living God's way because I'm not under conviction all the time about what I'm not doing. I just do what God wants done. Does that mean I've lost some friends over the year? I have. Is there some family that doesn't want to hang out with me when I go home and visit? There's some family that's not crazy about hanging out with me. I'm not that fun anymore. Not that way. I have all the fun I want going to men's retreats. And my motto is, what happens at a men's retreat stays at a men's retreat. Except for that one thing. Didn't you have fun this week? We had a tremendous amount of fun. There's no way I could have went with worldly people and drank and boozed it up and had any more fun than I had out there at that retreat this week. There's no way. It's one of the first things I learned after I got saved. I'm not kidding. When I got saved, I thought, well, there goes the fun, you know. What are we going to do now? And then I went hunting with some guys from this church, and I thought, I don't know how to get any better than this. Now, this is funny. We had a good time. We've had lots of good times, haven't we, brother? We've had lots of men that have fallen to the wayside, couldn't stay on the path. And the whole while, we've been having fun and just doing what God wants us to do. And I sleep good at night. And I praise God for every soul that gets saved. And I pray for those that walk away from the Lord. I try not to have hatred in my heart for them. I try not to be bitter. I simply pray that maybe God will bring them around, that God will work a miracle in their lives like he worked in mine. That they could be the men that God wants them to be. They could be the women that God wants them to be. I could not be the man I am today if I didn't have a wife that loved the Lord too. It would not happen. I would simply step away from the ministry and I would let somebody else take this position. It's a... Listen, Joshua stood in front of his family. Could you stand in front of your family and know the people behind you are on the same sheet of music that you're on? Listen, if they're not, you need to be up here praying for that today. They need to be on the same sheet of music. There shouldn't be all this bickering and arguing and stuff. Listen, if you've got the qualities of a Joshua, when you die, there'll be a bunch of people that follow after you until they die. That's what happened with Joshua. He set such an example that the elders after him continued to follow the Lord, do the works of the Lord until they died. Well, is that the kind of friends you hang around with? Are the kind of Christians you run with, are those the kind of Christians they are? If not, you need to find some new Christian friends. You need to stand up around these guys and say, listen, guys, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants. I cannot stay here and do what you want to do. I'm doing what God wants me to do. At some point, you got to grow up. You got to put that stuff aside, and you got to make some real commitments. This church could blow apart with the right commitments. It would come undone at the seams with the right commitments. Lighthouse Baptist Church would come undone with the right commitments. Listen, it takes men of God reaching the lost people of the world. It takes women of God reaching their friends for the cause of Christ. We got to be on the same sheet of music. You got to choose a side. Because listen, if you're not for this church, then you're not helping this church. You're dragging her to the left, you're dragging her to the right. And Joshua wasn't having it. Joshua stepped up. He finally stepped up and said, listen, boys, it's got to be one way or the other. I challenge you today that it's got to be one way or the other. Listen, Pastor Dimlow and Brother Gene, they laid it out as pointed as you could lay it out at that men's retreat. You would not get that at any other wishy-washy men's retreat on the planet. They didn't do it to poke you in the eye to have fun. They did it because they have a heart overflowing what they want God to do in your life. I've shed tears with these men before, and I've listened to their prayers for people. And other people say, oh, he's just a big meanie, you know, they're this, they're that, these preachers, they beat us up with the Bible. Well, if you're getting beat up with the Bible, praise God. You need to get beat up. You need to be challenged. You need to get out of that soft spot and get out and fight. Fight the good fight. It's time that Christian men start acting like Joshua and grew a spine and did some things in your life. You know, say no once in a while. There's too many homes where the wife is leading the home and the husband's sitting by watching and complaining. Why is my life like this? Why is it so messed up? Well, you got to lead. It was never the design of the home for the women to lead or the children to lead. All too often, the children are the one steering that ship. The men need to do it. Joshua's a minister, a humble minister. Let me ask you this. I'm gonna wrap this up in just a minute. Who is it that you minister to? Who is it that you pray about every night? Who is it that God's put in your life to lift up when the battle gets hot? Listen, if you don't have somebody, you need to find somebody. You need to find a good mentor for your life. Quit hanging around with the groups that aren't doing what they need to do. You've got plenty of people in here that can teach you, that need ministering to. Brother Girth probably has so much help that he's just about ready to quit doing what he's doing. It's always a struggle, isn't it, brother? There's always something that needs printed. There's always something that needs prayed. There's always something that needs done. And there's plenty of people in this church building. Joshua ministered, and he loved it. It was enjoyable to him. You know how many times in my life, and it's almost shameful to admit this, I thought about how easy it would be to come back here and just quit doing what I'm doing. I don't think I've never had those thoughts. When I was here serving with pastor and serving this church, you know, we went down there, it was just awesome, 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 and then the trials and tribulations come, and I thought, boy, you know, in hindsight, it's 2020. It'd be a lot easier to go back to doing what I'm doing, but that's not what God called me to do. God called me to step out, step up, and go do what he wanted done. And that's not always easy. But listen, if it's what God wants, you need to do it. And it's time for you to step out and step up. The principles taught this week are without nothing. They mean nothing. They're for naught if there's no commitment. None. And you men know who I'm talking to and what I'm talking about. I left the other night weeping and couldn't hardly talk to my wife on the phone. Whenever I leave, she always puts these notes everywhere and leaves me messages on my phones. You know, I just never think about that stuff. I think about packing, what I have to do, and make sure the message is where it needs to be and check it again and check this and check that. And then I get away and I find messages and I think, you know, that she would just love to have that kind of stuff done. You got to pay attention to the details. And if you don't commit to that, you never will. And your life will spiral out of control like everyone around you has. And your kids will be raised up in a one-parent home like I was, and like so many of you were. Listen, you got to make a commitment. You need to be on your face right here before the Lord. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor to have a song of invitation. But listen, I'm just going to say this. Whom will ye serve? Are you going to step up and start serving the Lord, or are you going to continue doing what you're doing? You can do that. You have the right to do that. It's a free country. But it's not a free eternity. You'll answer to God. You're going to stand before God when this is done. You're going to answer to him for the things that you've done or not done. Your family, the status of your family, the status of your church. I would not like to stand before God being out of sorts with my church or my pastor or any of my family. I would like to, I'd like to go knowing that things are the way they need to be. And if they're not, listen, you need to be on your knees before God this morning asking for the strength to make those things right. Whom will you serve? Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you're a God of mercy and a God of grace. And I thank you, Lord, for working in my life so many years ago. And Lord, helping me to salvage my family and salvage my life. And Lord, never thought in a million years that you could use somebody like me. And I'm just grateful, Father, that you've placed the people in my life that you have over the times. And I'm thankful for Brother Gene and the mentor that he was to me and still is to me, and the challenges that these men continue to challenge me with. And I pray, Lord, that I'd never stop. I pray you'd never let me feel like I've got a free pass. Father, that in this life I could get the things done that need done. I pray for these men here today. I pray for these family. I pray for these women and these young ladies. And Lord, lots of unmarried people here, and they've not even gotten married yet. They have no idea the trials they face ahead in the future. And there's not a prayer they'll survive without making choices here today about whom they're going to serve. I pray, Lord, whether it's today or tomorrow, that whoever needs to get right with you would get right. That this waffling and the fence riding would stop today. Lord, I pray for this church that it would continue to grow by your grace, Lord. And Father, that we continue to see souls saved in this area. And Lord, that we'd see surrender. We'd see men committed to the call of the ministry and to missions and to the gospel message. And Lord, we just pray for these things. Pray you'd break hearts today. I pray that there's a great conviction in hearts today about the things we've talked about this week and about the illustration of Joshua and how he lived for you all the days of his life. And I just pray that you'll be with this church, you'll be with our church. Father, continue to help us to fight the good fight of faith. Continue to help us to reach out to lost folks, that we could find some faithful men, we could find some faithful families, and Lord, just help us to grow. Father, we might have an impact on this wicked world that we live in. We're so grateful for your word today. We're so grateful that the Spirit of God continues to work in hearts, and I pray that not just in those hearts, but in my heart, you continue to work, Lord, and help me to be more of what you'd have me to be. I pray, Lord, that as we have our song of invitation, Lord, as we open this up, that you'd have men on their faces today making a commitment to step out and to step up to the things they've been challenged with this week. And Lord, they wouldn't be an emotional response, that it'd be a response based on the knowledge of the Word of God, that that's what you'd have. And Lord, it will not last if it's not based on what you'd have them to do and what the Word of God teaches. It'll just come and go. I pray, Lord, for some permanency. I pray for some stick power. I pray, Lord, that these things would not be undone anytime soon, and that you wouldn't take these things out of my heart anytime soon. We just love you, Lord. We pray that you bless here at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.